What about today? How many varieties of Mormonism do you think are today? Well, then you get the same 5, 10. I said, it's closer to 100. I said, I've got a chart available for those that want one as they leave of 18 different denominations of Mormonism and independents alone. No way! Yeah.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Let's face it, early settlers of Missouri didn't like any outsiders, whether they were Mormon or not. They just didn't like them. So in our next conversation with the historian Gene Adams, we're going to talk about some of these early settlers and how they went to some extreme lengths to make sure that certain people would win the auction for the land available there. We'll talk about Jones Flournoy. He was the man who sold the land to the first Mormons in Missouri. Did they get the land at a fair price? Hey everybody, I just wanted to mention one thing. So remember when I thought I gave away this book? Well, the person never claimed it. So what's up with that? Why would you not want a free book? So if you want this copy of the book that is signed by Don Bradley, here's what you need to do. Send me a quick video that says how much you love Gospel Tangents and why I should give you this book. And just send that to gospeltangents@gmail.com. Include your mailing address. I will pick a winner. So this one's going to be very subjective, and it's just going to be who I like the best. So send that within the next week to gospeltangents@gmail.com. I'll probably use your video as an intro liner to one of our upcoming videos. And you could win this book. So I'm sorry, I think it was Todd didn't get the book because I don't know why he didn't send me his address. So his loss is your gain. So send me a quick video why Gospel Tangents is the best. And if I pick you, you could be the winner of this book. So send it to gospeltangents@gmail.com. Now back to our conversation.
A lot of the history says that they claimed it, marked it, and had first right to it, all of which doesn't take into the consideration squatters' rights and the rights of the individuals that were already there. So that's why Jones Flournoy was there. He'd been there with his family for years. He had been holding that property, farming that property, and even had a trading post on that property. So in my opinion, and I've recently had an article published in the Mormon Historical Studies on this subject, my opinion, Joseph Smith and Edward Partridge would have had to get permission from Jones Flournoy to go onto the property ahead of time, probably with the knowledge that they were going to eventually want to buy it. Otherwise, they would have got run out of town.
Now, let me throw this at you, because I believe when I talked with Randy Sheldon, he told me that Joseph Flournoy had just purchased that property probably a week before the Hedrickites arrived, and basically just made a huge profit. And he didn't actually own it for that long. Is that true?
That's where the stories start going every which way, but correct.
Okay.
Okay. Flournoy, as the original squatter, when the state of Missouri made that land available, it wasn't federal land, it was seminary land. Okay, and the state had been given the seminary land as part of their statehood. They got two townships, and that equals 72 sections. 40-some sections were in Jackson County, as it turned out, and Independence was surrounded by them. So the individual squatters who thought that they could purchase the surveyed property from the federal government in 1828 were now told, nope, that's state land, and you're going to have to wait for them. So the state, in December of 1830, authorized it to be sold in December of 1831, not for $1.25 an acre, which the Federals sold it for, but for $2 an acre, the idea being raising more money for the eventual University of Missouri.
Oh, okay.
That's what seminary meant, was higher education.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that.
So that's where all these stories start getting all mixed up. So Flournoy had the right as a squatter to make the first purchase. Furthermore, he's the postmaster in town, a well-established individual. Nobody's going to ace out those original squatters. In fact, they were so intent on this, Rick. They were so intent that an individual that came to town speculating to buy up lots around Independence and so forth, they actually took him and put him in jail.
So who in jail?
This individual from Virginia.
Okay.
So that he could not go to the auction.
Oh, really?
And he then tried to get a local judge to help him. And the individuals, quote, landholders in good old Jackson County, can you imagine this happening? They threatened the judge they'd put him in jail with him if he interfered in any way.
Wow.
So as a result, nobody interfered with the squatters. They bought the property. Jones Flournoy sold it a week later, a portion of it, a portion of his acreage. He sold it to Edward Partridge.
So he bought it for $1.25?
He bought it for $2 an acre.
Oh, he did buy it for $2.
Yeah, he didn't make any money at all.
Five, oh, really?
On the 63.27 acres that he sold to Edward Partridge, my calculations is he made something around $3.50, $4.
Total?
Total.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So, okay, so... But he, so it is true that he only owned it for about a week and then he sold it to Edward Partridge?
That portion.
Oh, that portion. Okay.
Yes.
The portion where the temple lot is.
Right. And to make the story even more valid, he also sold two other portions of that property to two other individuals that he knew in town. And their deeds are referenced in the deed that Partridge got as being borders to his property. So it was a well thought out plan, well in advance of the sale.
Okay. Well, that's interesting because, I will tell you what, I was walking around. I'm going to call that the Temple Square because I think it's kind of cool. You've got like four restoration churches all sitting around that area. And I stopped by this little red house and it said Jacob Flournoy. And I did not ever know the story. I just took a picture.
Jones Flournoy.
And, so I took a picture because I was like, there's got to be a story behind this. And it's a tiny little house. I mean, it's just tiny. So yeah. That's cool.
That's not its original location.
Yeah, I understand because it says that they moved it, but yeah. it didn't move it very far, did they?
Well, it's actually been moved twice.
Oh, it's been moved twice.
Yeah. We can talk about that when you want to, but I can tell you about that too.
Okay.
Okay. But the getting back on the where we were on the...
The purchase of the land and that sort of thing.
The purchase of the land.
So Edward Partridge bought it?
Bought it from him at Jones Flournoy a week later. And over the next 2 years, then Partridge, Correll, and Morley all built cabins on that property. There was a burial ground on the property, farming on the property, storage on the property, and they had a grove set aside for worship in good weather, and they also built a church slash school, and it was pretty much in one particular area because it was treed, and then there was Jones Flournoy's original trading post. It was still, and probably the first building that the church ever used, and it certainly is the first building the church ever owned. It came with the property.
Wow. Well, interesting. All right. So so the Mormons get run out. I just talked with Alex Baugh. We went in deep into that. So basically by 1838, the Mormons were, that was the extermination order. The Mormons were kicked out of Missouri.
Yep. By 39, they'd pretty much all gone.
And then they went to Illinois and
correct.
Started Nauvoo. So then, so Granville Hedrick joins the church in 1843.
That's what I generally use as his date, yes.
Okay, and then Joseph dies 1844.
He's kind of the self-appointed leader of this little community, which includes his brother and several others. Eagle Creek is not very far. There was another congregation there, and Bloomington was the other congregation.
Okay.
Half Moon Prairie was the actual third one, and they actually amalgamated and used the name Crow Creek, which was right behind Granville's property. And Crow Creek is the original name of that branch that goes clear back to the early 1830s when the first missionaries went through that area and converted people.
Hmm. So it seems like the Mormons had a lot of problems in Missouri, a lot of problems in Nauvoo, but in outlying areas, were they pretty much left alone? And
yeah, see, it appears that that wasn't a big problem. And when they had small communities...
they got along with their neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
When political power was not a question.
Right. Okay. So, all right. So we've moved ahead. So we had the vision, said to come back in 1867. John comes back, buys the property. Then what year? And then it was 1877 when Joseph Smith III starts saying, let's go to independence.
Well, you can if you want.
You can if you want. Not that we're going to gather there.
Yeah.
Okay. So 1877, Joseph Smith III okays people to go back. When was that lawsuit that was first launched where the RLDS Church tried to take over the lot? What year was that approximately?
It's 1891-92.
Oh, it wasn't until that late.
Yeah.
Okay, so that goes
and
through.
Then it drags on for three and a half, four years.
So the interesting thing for me is the Temple Lot case was where the LDS Church got involved in this dispute with two other churches. Can you tell about that?
They did not get in a dispute with them.
Well, not in a dispute, but they sided with the Church of Christ.
That is correct. In fact, they loaned them considerable money for their legal fees.
Okay.
And I've got that all documented.
Okay.
Wealthy members of the church, of the LDS Church, loaned the money rather than the LDS Church. But
okay.
It got funneled then through Cannon's nephew, John Cannon, who had become a friend with Charles Hall. And so the loan was made directly that way.
Now, this John Cannon, is he related to George Q. Cannon?
Yes, he's a nephew.
Okay, so he's an athlete.
He's an attorney.
So John is a member of the...
LDS.
LDS Church, okay. So John just became a good friend of the Temple Lot.
Yeah, Charles Hall had actually got on the train and came out to see if he could solicit some help and support.
Oh, okay. And so some wealthy LDS Church members...
Funded the
Temple Lot. Okay.
And then there's some minutes where actually... he comes and talks to the First Presidency, and they just want to see how it's all going in terms of everybody getting paid back, and everything's moving ahead fine.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with historian Gene Adams. In our next conversation, we'll talk about the Temple Lot court case. Now, it's interesting that both the RLDS Church and the Church of Christ, the Hedrickites, did not agree with polygamy at all. However, this important court battle turned out to be a treasure trove of important information for modern LDS historians.
When people would come in and for their deposition, then the attorneys would ask a lot of the mundane kind of questions, you know, when did you first do this? When did you first do that? When did you move to Missouri? What did your family do? Did you know Edward Partridge? Did you live near the Temple Lot? And from all that information, a wealth of information came out in terms of historical material that wasn't available elsewhere.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available in either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com and you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript. And over here, we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.